This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenda Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 27th, 2012, episode 325, sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. And you're listening to a very special recorded musical episode with cowboy singer, songwriter, and cowboy poet, Jeff Dawson. Good morning, horse people.
A cowboy and a horseman. I'm one and the same. There ain't a cow I can't pen or a horse I can't tame. I grew up in the old school but evolved in the new. But in the same business for 30 years there's been few. I'm on the back side of 40 and I'm pondering now. When I reach 70, will I still ride 'em and how? But my blessings have been many. My heartaches have been few. I've calved thousands of cows and a baby colt or two. Some mounts have been iffy, some spoiled rotten brats, but they've all made a cow horse once we got past our spats. Old timers tell me I was born way too late. New wavers say my style's up for debate. But I'm just myself. I've always been that way. I do what I think's right and still listen to what others say. I've soaked in the knowledge of 40 years or more and tried to be the best, more better than before. I leave you with this thought before I say goodbye. In my mind, you'll make a cowboy if all you have is try.
Well, that is Jeff Dawson, and he currently manages a ranch in Kansas where they run grass cattle and operate an all-natural beef program. Jeff worked for area ranchers as day help, and I hope I'm saying this right, Wabansee County, Kansas, for the last 20 years, and through it, did I say that wrong, Jeff?
No, that was perfect.
All right. Well, he's worked there for the last 20 years, and through the horse business and ranch work, he has accumulated so many stories that in 2003, Jeff began writing cowboy poetry about his true life experiences, and he was one of the featured cowboy Western entertainers at the Silver Dollar City Salute to the Great American Cowboy. He was honored with the 2006 Best of the Best at the World's Only Western Legends Roundup Cowboy Poetry Rodeo in 2006, where he competed against 70-plus other contestants. He then followed it up with a trip to the Colorado State Fair, where he won the People's Choice Buckle and was reserve champion in their cowboy poetry competition. And I think this is my favorite title. Jeff is the 2009 National Cowboy Poetry Best of the West Shootout Champion. Please welcome Jeff Dawson.
Oh, man, you made that sound cool. Who is that guy?
Did sound pretty cool, didn't it? I can picture you with your six shooters there hiding behind a barrel.
Right. See, what I was seeing is like in the movie 8 Mile with Eminem, and he's up on stage and he's rapping and he's got to like jump in there and start rapping and beat down the other people. That's you, man. Wait, no, that's not.
No firearms included. No firearms included in that deal. So, but anyway.
So, Jeff, thank you for coming on and being part of our musical episode. And I heard your music quite a while ago on CD Baby, and we've played one of your songs here on our show, Render Sella, and a song / poetry. And I just think you're incredibly talented, but you're also not only talented at that. Tell us a little bit about your cowboy lifestyle.
Well, I am a working ranch manager here in Wabansee County, Kansas. You said that correctly.
Yeah.
I manage probably one of the most historic ranches in this part of the country, known as the old Shep Ranch. It's now called Illinois Creek Ranch, but it's just kind of right in the northern tier of the foothills here, and we do have a small cow-calf herd. We raise all-natural grass-fed cattle, and we graze yearlings in the summertime and just, you know, do the ranch thing. We put up hay, and I do have I have the luxury of having a ranch owner who wants to preserve the traditions of the cowboy way, in which you'll never see a four-wheeler on the ranch. And we feed cattle sometimes with a team of draft horses, Percheron draft horses, and we do it the way it ought to be done, and that's horseback. So that's kind of, I'm a lucky guy. I've got a real working ranch job, and then I get to travel around and tell people about it. So,
well, now you know, Jamie, we've had ranchers on before, and when they say we have a little herd, sometimes it's 17,000 cows. And, you know, on 50,000 acres, we just have a little herd out there in the back 40. Are we talking 17,000 cows on 50,000 acres, or are we a little smaller than that?
We're a little smaller than that. I did work on the A Ranch just west of here, about 20 miles, for 14 years, and it was the largest cow-calf operation in the state of Kansas.
How many?
And we took care of over 1,000 head of cows and about 300 heifers we calved every year, and then we grazed about 12,000 yearlings in the summertime.
Holy cow. So, that's a lot.
But this ranch is quite a bit smaller than that, and which is fine with me. You know, it's a lot of work either way, but I may have possibly went from the largest ranch in Kansas to the smallest one. I don't know. I don't know what everybody else has.
Well, I would think that it would probably be a good thing not having 17,000 cattle to feed when you're using Percherons. They'd get awful tired.
Yeah, you're right about that. So, and
I got to ask you, because I'm a Percheron guy. Are they black or gray?
They're black.
Perfect.
Wonderful. You know, a lot of people don't know that Percherons come in two colors, gray and black.
Yep.
So, they are a beautiful team. Percheron geldings, and one weighs 2,200, and the other weighs 2,100.
Got the big ones.
And they broke the best, so they can do about everything.
And everybody that listens to this show, Jamie, will know that everybody that listens to this show knows they come in two colors, because I ask that question every time, and I'm a black Percheron guy. So.
So. He's racist.
I'm racist, yeah.
You know, draft horses amaze me. Just their, you know, their quiet disposition, and their, you know, they're so intimidating because they're so large. But these rascals are just, you would not believe how well broke they are. So they come from a good place. So we're enjoying them.
That's great. That's great. So you were in 2003, it seems to be the magical year where you decided, hey, you know what? I'm out here working. I'm going to start either singing about it or writing about it or talking about it. What made you decide to kind of go into that aspect of the ranch life?
I can tell you exactly how that happened. And at that time, I was working on the A Ranch, which was the largest cow-calf ranch over here in Kansas. And you know, we did everything horseback there also. We did feed with tractors and feed wagons and stuff like that. But I would come home, and I would start telling my wife about my day. And you know, anybody that's taken care of livestock or been around livestock, you know, just funny things happen. And so I would come home and tell her about my day. And one time I came home, and she's like, you know what? She's like, you need to start writing some of that stuff down, because, you know, that's funny. And lo and behold, one night I went and got a tablet, and I sat down at the dining room table, and I wrote a poem. Now, if you would talk to my 8th grade English comp teacher, you would, and she had to pick someone that she knew to write poetry, I guarantee you I would be the last person on earth that she would have picked.
You're the last cowboy kid she would have picked, huh?
Exactly. I had no intentions of writing poetry whatsoever. I'd never listened to poetry. I'd never studied poetry. I've never read poetry. And it just started rhyming as I wrote it down, and it just, things kind of happened from there. So,
Yeah, I would assume that a rancher cowboy would not study, you know, the sonnets of William Shakespeare, like really sit down and crack the poetry book. But, you know, that's the part about kind of doing what you love. It comes easy when you have to talk about it or write about it when it's something you're passionate about.
That is the thing. And, you know, the history of cowboy poetry, you know, a lot of the big outfits, they told stories around the campfire, and, you know, we've all heard about that, and it's, you know, it's something that's been passed through the generations, but it's something I'd never, you know, studied or been around or, you know, read or did anything like that. So it was just kind of, it was thrust upon me, and it's kind of a cool thing, and entertaining, and plus, it, like you said, it's pretty easy for me because I'm just relaying stories that actually happened. You know, if I was going to just sit down and write a poem, I couldn't do it. You know, just about everything I've wrote is a true or you know, a happening.
So. Now, when you look back at that first poem you wrote, do you go, "Oh, that was awful"?
You know, I people ask me about my first CD, and I say, you know, I wish that would disappear off the face. But you know, some of them, yeah, and some of them, no. So it's yeah. The very first one I wrote, I still do in my performances today.
What's that one?
So it's the North and Judd Spur.
Okay. No. Nope.
And it was a story about. A pair of spurs that my dad handed down to me, and I had a day at the ranch that things kind of turned south, everything I did. But that's the very first one I wrote, and I still do it in all my performances today. So.
Well, now you have one called Tougher Horses. Where did that one come from?
You know, people ask me that. Where, you know, who'd you write that about or whatever? And I think that was just one inspiration that came to me that, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. At some time in your life, everybody's had to ride a little tougher horse than what they'd planned on. And, you know.
Jamie has one of those right now.
Got a couple of them.
And so, I kind of, you know, that could be written for anybody, that was an inspiration that just kind of came, and I named my CD after that one. So.
Well, let's hear it. Let's hear Tougher Horses.
Well, this story, it's about tougher horses. You know, I've ridden them most all my days. But it's also about the way a cowboy thinks and the way he acts. Some may say simple cowboy ways. But to find out what truly drives him, you gotta look past the boots and the jeans. You gotta draw deep like a hand dug well in the earth. Look inside the man and his means. So if we're talking it's about tougher horses, why, we're not complaining. That's the life that we choose. And a true cowboy won't ponder the what ifs, and he won't spend much time worrying if he'll lose, 'cause he knows where he's headed and the roads that he'll have to take. Oh, and I know sometimes it just won't seem right, but he's just stubborn enough to make it all work. Prove to us that it was all worth the fight. So if we're talking it's all about tougher horses, I guess we're talking it's just the cowboy way. Join up with an outfit and to ride for the brand, or else just get the heck out of the way. So this one's for all of you who ride those tougher horses. You wear that brand so proud and true. And I know that each and every day when you get up and put your boots on, that you're going to do the best you can do. Because it's all about tougher horses.
He met your horse, Jet, and wrote that poem all about your horse, Jet. Oh, sorry about that. Let me turn that off. It was all, you. I didn't know you knew her.
Well, you know, I said it could have been wrote about anybody. Yeah. So that's
you know, and after hearing that, I'm going to put my horse in the trailer, and I'm moving to Kansas. I'm going to work on the ranch.
Yeah, Jet needs some work on the ranch, I think.
Oh, it was awesome. You know, it's so romantic.
Oh, it. Thank you. That's why I kind of made that the title track of my CD, because I really like that that poem and that kind of story song. So
I love it. Well, who's doing the music, Jeff? Is that you who writes it and plays it, or do you have some people that back you?
Well, I actually just about everything I have is my own original material, but I have a lot of help. I use a recording studio in Manhattan, Kansas called Crystal Clear Recording Studios. And there's two guys that work there. One is the most magnificent musician you've ever heard, and his name is Jed Wymore. And then the other is also a musician, but he does the recording and a lot of the, you know, the editing and stuff like that. And you may know his cousin. This guy's name is Richard Cuz Garber, and he had a cousin, Dennis Garber, and you may know who he played for. He played for Garth Brooks for about 10 years.
Well, that's
never heard of him.
Jamie's favorite musician of all time. Just so, went to see him in anyway. Vegas not long ago.
Oh, wow. How was that?
Oh, my gosh, dude. You have got to book a trip to Vegas, because it is Garth Brooks. You heard what?
I heard he just did an acoustic show.
It is him on stage with a guitar. And if you go thinking that he's going to sit down and play all his hits, he's not. He goes through, he chronicles his entire life from like birth to what music he listened to in his parent, in the backseat of his parents' car, you know, when he was in the back window laying down, you know, they were driving down the freeway and listening to, I mean, he played music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and then he gets to the 90s and he's like, now, music from the 90s, y'all know I was the 90s. And then he played a couple of his own songs and just was funny and charming and just Garth at his best. And then he even made fun of... Oh, my gosh. It is money well spent. I didn't know what to expect. I went in with no expectations and was completely blown away. And everybody that has... Cool. Now, I will tell you that is in the Wynn Casino. And when you go to the Wynn Casino...
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. You know, my husband and I, we were like, we're going to go see Garth. We threw on our boots. We put on our cowboy hat. I had on a little Western dress. He had on his Wranglers. Yeah. We go in there. Everybody was in, like, ball gowns and tuxes.
No way.
I was like, what on earth? Why am I the only idiot dressed like a cowboy? People took pictures with me.
it was worth it, I bet, though.
Oh, it was. It was fun no matter what. But definitely, if you can take some time off from the ranch, go do that at the Wynn in Las Vegas. But tell us a little bit. I know you have some horses, because this isn't about Garth, but you have some horses. Tell us a little bit about them.
I do. I have the ranch has some horses who stay in Kansas City a lot and then just come out, you know, during calving season and things like that. And then I have horses of my own. Well, I have my own place that my wife and I have had for about 25 years here in Wabunsee County. And so this is where we keep our horses, and I trailer horses back and forth to the ranch. But I actually have a paint horse, which, you know, most people, when they think of a ranch horse, you know, they think of a bay or a sorrel or a blue roan. But I have a pretty loud-colored paint horse that's probably... He's had cutting training, and he's just a really nice horse. He can do anything in the world, and I think a lot of him. And,
do you think the cows are out there going, oh, here's the guy in the paint again? Do you think they're saying that? You think they're laughing and pointing or not?
You know, you talked about going to the wind in cowboy clothes and being the only one there. I hauled this horse to a Kansas cutting horse competition. Now, if you can imagine 60 bays and sorrels and one almost solid white paint horse in the competition.
And which so, one of these is not like the other?
You talk about sticking out like a sore thumb. But and before the day was over, they all knew my horse's name because whenever they called my smoking Apache, everybody said, here comes that big white penny horse.
All right. So what do you call him? What's his barn name?
You're not going to believe me if I tell you. I call him Paint.
That's clever.
You're so cowboy.
Yeah.
That is, why is it that every Western guy, they call their horse Blackie, Yellow, Red, you know, whatever it is, they always call him the color and you call him Paint. And his name is My Smokin' Apache. Shame on you.
I think, you know, maybe just for sake of remembrance, you know, we're probably not in the drawer. So we try to keep it simple and just, you know, name them whatever color they are. So.
Now, have
so
you?
Funny.
We talk all the time, and we always ask special guests this question, and I think you'll know what I mean when I ask it. It doesn't matter whether you're English or Western or ride mules. Have you had your lifetime horse yet?
You know, I worked for a guy taking care of some cows and calves at Kansas State University, and. Matter of fact, I kind of regurgitated this in one of my songs, but he said, you know, you may only have one great horse your whole life, and you'll know it when you do, and you'll never have another like him. I'm not sure I've had that horse yet, but I've rode a lot of good horses, and but I'm not sure I've had that, you know, that truly, truly great horse. And of course, you know, me being the biggest hindrance of them becoming great, you know, I may have already had that horse. I just didn't let it shine through. I don't know. But, you know, I think truly, you know, every horse is an individual and they all have their great attributes. And you know, I know I'm joking, but, you know, a lot of times, if a cowboy can just kind of stay out of their way and let them get their job done, then, you know, they're a lot better than you know, trying to override them and things like that.
Well, I think that's kind of cool, though, because that means you have that to look forward to yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
right. I do.
I think that's
The ranch has a bay gelding right now that's a seven-year-old bay gelding that's a really nice reined cow horse, and I get to ride him several times a year for a few months at a time, and he's pretty cool. So
his name is Brownie, isn't it?
actually we call him Bay, if you can believe that.
I love that. But, see, we overcomplicate things. We try and come up with these fancy names, and we have contests, and these guys just know how to do it. There's no thought, not a lot of thought put into it. He's just, you know, that's what he is. He's Bay. Hey, what about, let's play another one here, and I want to play a poem called Promised Land. Can you tell me about that?
Okay. Promised Land, yeah. You know, I do that in my shows also quite often, and I just kind of introduce that by saying, you know, if there's any way I could describe to anybody what it's like to actually live a dream and do what you're passionate about, you know, that's probably what that poem's about.
You can feel it in your heart as you ride across the plain. It's that deep down inside feeling that no words could near explain. But you know it when it hits you, like a norther blowing in, because you can't contain emotions or the goosebumps on your skin. They say cowboy's in your blood, and for some of us that's true, but I've seen hands graft onto it and make good punchers through and through. As you're setting up a horseback and a staring out for miles like a preacher, it's your calling, the only thing that fits your style. Things affect you different when a punching's what you do, like the smell of horse sweat leather or spring morning's glistening dew. You can tell a cow's direction before she ever takes a step, or a prairie fire's intentions just before she gets windswept. Your instincts all come natural, like the cow sense in your horse, and all the things God gives you, you're sure thankful for, of course. You'd trade this life for nothing. As the years lope right on by, you've no regrets, no worries, no hard feelings to rectify. So you just keep right on punching, be it ride or rope or brand, and know you'll join the big outfit the day you reach the promised land.
That is really good, and you know, your poetry is, I think that Jamie said it, it's, oh, I guess all poetry is, in a way, it's almost romantic. You know, it's probably got Jamie swooning over there, because that's and, well, I'm sure that's, know, part of the goal. But
yeah, you know, it as I get further and further into it, you know, it you continue to learn about the craft and things like that. But yeah, you know, romantic, you know, something you can laugh about, something you can cry about, you know, just the whole gamut of emotions is kind of where we like to go. So,
well, we want everybody to stay to the very end of the show, because we're going to play the show out with one you can laugh about called Rindercella. We're going to play that out at the end of the show. You're going to want to hang around for that. I want to ask you about the cowboy poetry competitions. What is the history behind that? When did that start? And is it getting bigger, or are they dying off? You know, is this something that that senior cowboys have done and the youngsters are not picking up? Tell us about it.
Actually, there's a gentleman named Sam Jackson who is the producer of the National Cowboy Poetry Rodeo. And it's been an ongoing competition, and I'm not going to be able to tell you how many years it's been going on. But it's been going on for quite a while. And they host it in, you know, Kanab, Utah, or Montrose, Colorado, different places. But it's where, you know, anyone who wants to, you know, be in a competition and try to better themselves as a cowboy poet, you go to, and you have so many minutes on stage, and they have two go-rounds, and you have to advance to get to the finals, and they have five judges, and they throw out the high and the low score. It's about the fairest competition of a judged competition you could think of. And it's really cool. It's kind of pressure-packed, and you know, a lot of people get out there and slip up a little. A lot of people get out there, do better than they thought they were going to do, and it's just a good place to, you know, as Sam puts it, you know, take average poets and make them better, and, you know, take good poets and make them excellent. So,
and is it a growing thing at this point? Are people getting back into it, or has it waned? Or
yeah, actually, that, you know, it's, I don't know what year they're in, but they're going to do it again this year in Kanab, Utah, I believe, and they have about 70 entries every year, and it's usually, you know, some of the same people, but there'll be new people, and you know, there's been that's where I went for that competition. The one at Colorado, I just went to the one time, and then the one where I won the shootout championship was the National Cowboy Poetry Rodeo, and that year it was in Montrose, Colorado. So.
Now, Glenn, listening to him talk, don't you want to go on a trail ride with him?
Yes.
And just
yes, actually.
I do. I want to ride the fence with you, Jeff. Let's go check the fences, and you can recite some poetry. It'll be a good time for everyone. Now, I wanted to ask, Glenn has a question. He always has to ask these kind of silly questions. Go ahead, Glenn. Ask it.
Well, I want to know, are there any cowgirls that do this, or is it all cowboys?
Oh, no. Yeah, there's lots of cowgirls. Matter of fact, this year they're starting up the Salute to the Great American Cowboy in Branson again. And there's some female poets going to be down there, some great female Western singers. Yeah. It's not exclusively a cowboy thing.
So. Okay, that's why.
There's lots of good female poets.
Are there, like, cowboy poetry groupies?
Yes, there are.
That, like, rip their clothes off and throw them up on the stage?
Flash the stage, well, throw their bras up there, yeah.
I've done quite a few shows the last several years, and I've never seen anybody light a Bic lighter or anything. So I'm not
they don't
sure.
hold their cell phones up?
I'm not sure, you know, it draws that kind of people. But, yeah, there are people who follow the Western festivals and you know, you start to build kind of a fan base of people that, you know, that kind of travel and go to your shows, and it's kind of cool. You know, lots of great friends. You know as well as I do in the horse business, you know, you meet great people all the time when you're traveling.
So what you're saying is you haven't had to get any restraining orders yet at this point?
No. Sometimes my wife and I tease each other because since she has a radio show and they have I'm not sure what their demographic is, but we call them either grandma or grandpa stalkers. They're really a fan.
I wanted to ask you about your wife and her show in just a minute, but I want to play something else first. I got to give you the choice, 90 mile an hour or I hear the trailer coming.
I hear the trailer.
Oh, either
come
one. Both of those are a lot of fun.
Well, it sounds like Jamie wants I hear the trailer coming. Let's listen to this, and we'll find out about it after.
I'm going to tell you all a story about a cowboy named Joe. You see, he couldn't get out of bed without stubbing his toe. He was big and clumsy and unorthodox, all right, and I never seen him straddle any horse that it didn't end up in a fight. Well, I got to thinking, it's a wonder old Joe ain't dead, because if Johnny Cash would have known old Joe, he'd have wrote this song instead. Well, I hear that trailer coming. It's coming up the road. Well, I ain't got my horse caught, and I'm betting he won't load. Lord, this cowboy work is starting. It ain't that fun for me. As I try to catch old Cherokee, and that's what tortures me. Well, I went into the horse corral, and he bit me on the arm. I cried just like a baby as he looked around the barn. Lord, the teeth marks are stinging. They're swelling up, you see. As I try to catch old Cherokee, and that's what tortures me. Well, I grab my favorite lariat and I run him in the shed. I chuck my favorite Houlihan, I rope a two-year-old instead. Lord, my gloves are smoking. I'm just a-dragging along. As I try to catch old Cherokee, everything I do is wrong. Well, the boys holler, we're not waiting, can't you saddle that old hide? Just as I pull my cinch up, he cow kicked me in the side. Lord, I hope my day gets better. They're all laughing at me. As I try to load old Cherokee, and that's what tortures me. Well, there's probably rich folks ranching on some horses that are swell. But if they had to ride old Cherokee, they wouldn't like it near as well. Lord, I hope my day gets better. He starts to bucking with me as I try to ride old Cherokee, and that's what tortures me. Here we go. Well, old Cherokee don't quit bucking till he gets me on the ground. As I hit and roll, I'm hoping all the cattle go around. Lord, I hope my day gets better. Ain't wanting trampled, you see. Here we go. Well, I guess I'll sell old Cherokee. He's done a torturing me. So long, Cherokee.
I am never going to be able to hear that Johnny Cash song the same. I'm going to hear the trailer coming. I don't even remember what I think it's. He said train. I don't know. I forgot now.
that song was a lot of fun.
So. Oh, and we've all had those horses too. We have all had them. Oh.
Yeah. Everywhere I go when I do that, someone comes up afterwards and tells me a story about the Cherokee that they owned.
Yes.
And, it's actually, I kind of got that from a friend of mine who had a horse that he didn't load very well. He said he was the only horse that could stand with all 4 feet outside of the trailer and eat grain up at the nose of the trailer. You know, he just would not hit it.
And we all can picture that, too, because we've all been there. Why does trailering have to be so difficult?
that was a lot of fun.
We have a great place to ride that's only about 5 minutes from the farm, and it takes us longer to load the horses than it does drive there. And some days it takes us longer to load the horses than the amount of time we ride when we get there. You know, it's just a
that's a you problem right there.
I know. I agree. I'm not arguing that point. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, and I am Glenn the Geek. I'm here with Jamie Jennings, and it's a special musical episode with Jeff Dawson. And we're going to be back with the show in just a minute. But first, I have to tell you about our sponsors for today. Of course, our title sponsor today is Kentucky Performance Products, and they are a dedicated supporter of several of the Horse Radio Network shows. The product I want to talk to you about today is Keraform. Keraform is a source of biotin, iodine, and zinc, which are shown to support the maintenance of healthy hooves and hair. These ingredients are combined with lectin and full-fat soybeans to provide a source of essential fatty acids, an ingredient that supports a normal, healthy hair coat. Yeast cultures are also included and play a role in the maintenance of normal digestive function, making Keraform a well-rounded, affordable supplement. To find out more about Keraform and all the products at Kentucky Performance Products, visit kppusa.com. And to learn more about horse nutrition and interact with the KPP experts, be sure to join their Facebook page. Just search for Kentucky Performance Products. And this show is also sponsored by Pocket Stable. We've been talking about this little app for a long time. It's $3.99. You just go to your iTunes App Store and you plug in Pocket Stable. You'll find it, or go to pocketstable.com. It's a little application that you can use to keep track of all of your horse's information, from worming, farrier visits, doctor visits, to shots, all of that stuff. And it'll give you little reminders when everything is due again. You definitely need this. If you have horses in your barn, 1 or 5 or 10, it doesn't matter. You need PocketStable.com. Give it a try today in your iTunes App Store. And now back with the show.
Now, tell us a little bit, Jeff. Of course, we're talking to Jeff Dawson, cowboy poet and singer-songwriter. Tell us a little bit about your wife, because she actually hosts, Glenn, I hate to say it, she hosts a real radio show.
I know. She probably has a great radio voice too.
Probably does. She's probably pretty too.
Yeah, she's probably funny, smart.
She's very pretty. My wife and another gentleman named Ernie Rodina have a syndicated radio show called Better Horses.
That means they make more money too. As soon as they say syndicated, it means that they're getting paid a lot more than us, Jamie.
They have sponsors and everything.
Yeah,
they like, crazy.
Yeah, get paid. Yeah.
What's that like?
Tell us what that's like, Jeff.
You know, she's kind of like me. If someone would have told her 5 years ago, you know, you need a little extra money, and she would have said, oh, I think I'll go into radio, you know, everybody would have said, you're nuts. And it's just something that you know, they started a radio show, and Ernie did one episode, and he quickly found out, which I'm sure you guys did, that there's a reason you have a co-host when you're doing a radio show.
Yeah, it really stinks talking to yourself for an hour.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so he invited Dawn to the second episode, and that was like 8 years ago.
And, what's the show about?
You know, it's a talk show, and they interview anyone from veterinaries to equine clinicians to entertainers to, you know, horse experts in every area. And, you know, same deal. They just have fun with it. And they're syndicated on about 30 stations now. So
they need to have us on it.
Yeah, we need to be on it. We can have the battle of the talk show hosts.
They would win.
I think I can hook that up for you. So,
and then we could say we were on real radio. Now, what's it called? What's the show called?
It's called Better Horses.
Better Horses, okay.
Now, you can find their website on betterhorsesradio.com. You can listen to some show archives, and yes, she is pretty, and she's, like, talented and all that. So, what's she doing with you, Jeff? Just kidding.
I get asked that quite a lot. I have a friend who does cowboy church services around the country, whenever I help him with his deal, he always says the best thing that ever happened to Jeff Dawson was Don Dawson. So,
amen. Anyway,
it's probably true.
We all have to say that about our wives. That's how we stay married, Jeff. That's how we stay married. That's what makes us great horse husbands, and that's what keeps us married.
Yes.
Well, this has been a treat. I want to play the other song that we mentioned earlier because I like it as much. And then we'll just get some contact information from you, and we'll play the show out with Rindersella. But the song 90 Mile an Hour, tell us a little about that.
True story. A guy, you know, besides working at the A Ranch, I did day work around the country and here in Waubonsie County, and a guy asked me to come help him gather and work his cows and calves, and out of all the people that showed up, I was the only one that brought a horse with me. And everybody else was on four-wheelers.
Uh-huh.
And so after that little episode...
that must have went well.
it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
It's
and your horse didn't have any trouble loading in the trailer that day, did he?
The song plays the whole story, and it's hilarious. So, I've never went back and helped that guy again. And I don't think he appreciates the song, but that's okay.
There we go.
I got invited to a gathering here just the other day. The outfit boss seen me in town. This is what he had to say. Been a while since you helped us. Things have changed here just a bit. Then he kicked the ground with his old boot and he leaned over and spit. He said, I don't know if you know this or not, but we don't use horses anymore. The new owner, he took over and all that horse stuff went right out the door. Now don't you laugh, but we're all riding about a 200cc. Bright yellow rubber tired Kawasaki. But we still could use your help if your old horse don't mind the noise. And I'd hate myself if you got bucked off amongst all our cowboy toys. I said we'll be there at 6, sonny, and don't you worry none. Ain't no way my old horse and I would be having this much fun. Now, the story, it gets good from here because you ain't seen so many wrecks. Why, it looked like opening day of the Kansas Speedway Motorplex. They was upside down and sideways. They was rolling over and breaking bones. I didn't know whether to keep gathering cattle or not. I want one on my phone. Cause it was 90 mile an hour over hill and under trees. My horse and I are dodging steers and Kawasaki's. 90 mile an hour and there's cussing galore. Ain't no way my horse and I will decide it anymore. Now, when the smoke all cleared, my horse and I pinned every last head. The new owner, he came over and he said, "What I owe you?" And this is what I said. While them four-wheelers is hunting places to cross and shifting gears with all their torque, my horse and I, we shut the gate on them all. We did about four times the work. So honestly, my pay should be about four times that of those other hands you hired. He looked at me and he wrote me out a check and he said, "You and your horse are fired." Ain't that a heck of a note? Cause it was 90 mile an hour over hill and under trees. My horse and I are dodging steers and Kawasaki's. 90 mile an hour and there's cussing galore. Ain't no way my horse and I ain't near enough money in the sky. Ain't no way my horse and I won't fit anymore. I hate
yeehaw
those Kawasaki's.
Uh-huh.
Love it. That's fantastic. I was waiting for the big doo-doo at the end. The big drum. That's fantastic. That is so, oh my gosh, that must have been a really bad day.
Yeah, it was an exciting day and like I said, true story. So it's all in fun. When I do cattlemen's events around the country, you can always tell who rides four-wheelers and who rides horses when I do that song.
I bet. The looks on their faces.
Yeah. The people who use horses, they start swelling up, and the people who ride four-wheelers, they start squirming. So,
Hey, Jeff, before we do let you go ahead and mention, I know that you have some sponsors for your ranchcowboy.com and your cowboy poetry. So why don't you tell us about those real quick before we let you go?
I do. I have a couple of great sponsors. One of them is Olathe Boot Company, who used to be in Kansas City, but now they're in Mercedes, Texas. Pat Moody is a friend of mine, president, co-owner down there, and Scott Tucker. They take care of me. They keep me supplied in boots. What a great relationship. And then, of course, the great folks at Purina Mills, Ernie Robina, who is Don's co-host on the radio show. Is also a sponsor, and it's just a wonderful affiliation to have those folks behind you, giving you the street credibility, and it's just a great deal. So thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah, you know what? Go ahead and tell your friends at Purina that I want to thank them personally for making Active Senior a new feed out by Purina. I'm not even paid to say this, but I started feeding my horses the Active Senior because I have some older guys that still work for a living, and I just appreciated them coming out with that. It's really made a difference.
You bet. All right, well, thank you.
If anybody wants to learn more about Jeff Dawson, and of course you do, you can find his music like I did on CD Baby, but you can also go to, is your official website ranchcowboy.com, Jeff?
You have that perfect, ma'am. It's ranchcowboy.com, and we have all of our information on there, our ranch information, and you know, things about the poetry and CDs and everything you need to know. Contact info. What a
now,
great domain name.
It's perfect.
Yeah, I can't believe You got lucky to get that one.
Now,
yeah, we did get really lucky.
Jeff, should I go ahead and wait till spring to move out there and work on the ranch, or should I just go ahead and pack up my stuff now?
Well, it's up to you. You know, we're building some rock fence right now, so that would be a good project you might want to be involved
in. I'll wait till you're done with that.
Because, you know, she's got this pay problem on the non-terrestrial radio. See, that's just...
Okay.
We got to do what we got to do. Well, Jeff Dawson, thank you so much for being on the show today. It has been an absolute blast. And for those of you who just need a picture painted of Jeff, you can imagine, like, a big, gruff cowboy with the mustache and the hat and the chinks and the scarf. You know, that is the epitome of Jeff. You look the part, and you are a true cowboy, and it has been an honor having you on the show, sir.
Thank you, ma'am, and the pleasure's been all mine. I appreciate you folks having me on. I really do.
It's been a joy, Jeff, and I want to remind everybody that we'll be back at Horses in the Morning Live on Monday morning. We'll be live from Ada learning about all the new products that are at the wholesale show. Jennifer and I will be over at the wholesale show in Philadelphia, and we'll be coming to you live from there. Jamie will be producing that day. We'll have a bunch of guests, and you're going to learn about what's new for 2012 and good old horse stuff. Well, this has been a pleasure. We promised everybody that we were going to play the day out with Rindercella. Now, some of you have heard this before in a different version. I like Jeff's the best, and here it is.
Once upon a time in a corn country, there was a very beautiful burl, and her name was Rindercella. Now, Rindercella lived with her mugly other and her two sad blisters. Now, in this same corn country, there was a very prancing Hens, and he was going to have a bancy fall. So he invited people for a riles amount, especially all the pitch people. Now, Rindercella and her mugly other and their two sad blisters went out and bought themselves some drancy fesses to wear to the bancy fall. But Rindercella could not go, because all she had to wear was a bunch of old rurdy dags. Well, the night of the Bancy Fall came, and Rindercella could not go, so she just cat down and scried. Well, she was getting there a-scrying when all of a sudden appeared before her a fairy modgother. Now, the fairy modgother touched Rindercella with her wagic wand, and all of a sudden appeared before her a Sig Boach and Hicks White Sources to take her to the Bancy Fall. Now the fairy modgother said, Rindercella, you must be home before Nidmite, or I'll turn you into a tumpkin. So Rindercella went to the Bancy Fowl, and the prancing Hens was waiting on her because he'd been watching her behind a wooden hinder. Well, Rindercella and the prancing Hens nanced all night long, and they lell in fuff. Just before the clock struck midnight, Rindercella staced down the rares, and just before she beached the rottom, she slopped her dripper. Now, the very next day, the prancing Hens went all over the corn country looking for the very beautiful burl that slopped her dripper. And he finally came to Rindercella's house, and he tried it on Rindercella's mugly other, and it fit and did. Then he tried it on her two sigly usters, and it fit and did. Then he tried it on Rindercella, and it fit did. It was exactly the sight rise. So they got married and lived heavily ever happerts. Now, the story of the Maury is, if you're going to go to a corn country, and you're going to go to a Bancy Fall and loll in fuv with the prancing Hens, don't forget to slop your dripper.